Hello, this is artist number three. His name is Steve Dark from Gulf Shores, Alabama, and this is podcast number three. Steve, you have some really interesting sculptures. Could you tell me what inspired you to do what you do?
The portrait bust kind of grew up out of the face jugs, and I just kept getting more and more detailed, or, you know, more and more sections and parts. And I mean, it just went from a head to a small torso to a bigger torso, and they were just supposed to be real expressive kind of extensions of a face jug, and I'd make wide eyes and big teeth, and they were exasperated or, you know, dismayed or on just disbelief. There's been so many hurricanes where I live, I guess I was just making self-portraits of my own sense of being lost, kind of, in all the trauma and drama with all those storms. And kind of funny thing, this, I was next to this painter in Fairhope at the Fairhope show, and I had all these bikers and musicians and farmers, and men mostly, because I'm the model, I work alone, and so they're mostly guys. And she says, you know, Steve, my day job, I'm a school nurse, I'm a psychologist. She says, women are mostly the customers at these art shows, and women are never going to take those into their house. They're big, gnarly teeth, and they're very, she says, teeth are represent aggression, and women aren't, they have enough of that in their life. They don't want to buy it, voluntarily pay money and bring it into their house. She says, you need to close the mouth, get rid of the teeth, make them women, hell, make them voluptuous women. And that was the beginning of making the women in the portrait spot. So they look like men with breasts, you know, they're not really exactly look like women. But, and then over some time, I had been putting them in the woods and in gardens and in different kind of places where you would not suspect to find them, and you turn a corner and all of a sudden there'd just be this wide-eyed expressive looking face. And then that led to putting them in the water, and which is kind of where it is now.
Could you explain to us why you put them in the water? Like, what are you trying to achieve? Is it more like a performance art? Or, and the barnacles are really interesting, could you explain that also?
Putting them in the water was just something, not a frustration. Where I live, they have all these million-dollar condos at the beach, but there was not a penny for public art. Nobody would ever do anything about sculpture or public art, and so I just took it on myself to make my own public art. And then the barnacles, it is kind of process art in the sense that as they're out there, they get bird droppings. I mean, you can see a little bird perched up on the head of it and everything. And then after they're out there long enough, they just accumulate that barnacle surface, and a lot of moss and types of grass sort of things growing off of them. And yeah, I guess that's it for that.
Do you hope to see your art in museums eventually?
Yeah, I do. I do already have some pieces in museums, but I kind of actually, you know, like the more direct contact with people. Like, it's cool if it's in a museum, but I don't get to see their reaction, and I don't really understand, you know, I can't get any feedback from it. So I'm flattered to have pieces in permanent collections, and that would be a dream for anybody, I guess. But I still like to interact with the people and try to you know, respond to their feedback as far as like the development of my work or whatever.
Is this why you do art festivals?
Well, you know, the feedback is nice, but also, you know, it's better than waiting tables, you know, try to come out and make a little bit of money, recoup some of the investment, but definitely for exposure and to get some kind of, you know, notice or whatever.
And also you are able to, I guess, get 100% of the price that you're asking for your work, opposed to being in a gallery where they take 50%. Do you have any point of views on that?
Yeah, that's a really touchy situation, and I can understand about galleries and how that works. But yes, I definitely like the fact that if I sell something, it's mine and I don't have to share it with somebody. I know that galleries develop a clientele and a base, a network of people who are collectors. You know, I don't ever try to undermine that, but I do try to avoid people who tell me what to make and when to make it. And galleries always say, hey, I need five more of those blue ones. And I say, I don't make blue anymore. And they say, well, come on, you got to make, you know. Gallery can hold down your growth, your development sometimes if you let them. So it is nice to keep it some of that money.
Okay, that's great, Steve. On another aspect. Could you explain to me how Zapplication has affected the art festival scene?
Yeah, I'll try to be concise. I mean, it's an interesting way to open up the application process because it's on the web, and we're, you know, so anybody in the world can see and make application. I think it's done a lot for the festivals to raise money because now maybe 1,000 people apply to the show instead of 200. It makes it very competitive, and I think people that have normally been doing these shows are having some difficulty adjusting to the new competition and the nature of the process, even if it's just the technical part. Some people don't want to learn a computer and a photography aspect of it, but also just so competitive. I think people were left in their hippie ways, you know, and now those days are for sure over. If they weren't before, you know that they are now.
Steve, I really appreciate your time, and your work is wonderful, and I really appreciate talking to you. We have been talking with Steve Dark from Gulf Shores, Alabama. This is the Virginia Holland Arts Festival 2007.